You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's the Nerd Overload with the first episode of 2017. We're the pop and geek culture show that discusses pop and geek culture stuff. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. I can't believe we made it to 2017.
We did it, folks.
We survived.
It didn't seem like we were going to there for a minute.
Touch and go there for a sec. But anyway, we have a bunch of news to go over. But first, let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
We got a ton. We saw Moana the other day.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
It was very good.
Oh, good.
Almost so good to where, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it was just predictably good.
Okay.
Like, to the point where, like, you don't feel anything while you're watching it except for, like, this is good. You know?
Okay. All right.
This is perfectly good. I hated the chicken. There's, like, her sidekick chicken character is this chicken, and his thing is that he's really stupid.
Oh, okay.
And he's obviously there for the kids to giggle at dumb chicken, but God, it was an annoying chicken.
Really? Well, I mean, I guess all those Disney movies have to have, like, that goofy animal side character.
Yeah.
Hey, some of the goofy side characters are pretty good.
Yeah, but this wasn't one of them. The songs were all fantastic.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda did a great job.
He did a great job.
Well, I didn't even mean to do that. Did a great job on those songs.
Nice. Yeah. How did The Rock do as,
as
Maui?
Yeah, this was like the role he was, like, born to play, I think.
Yeah, you could tell every minute, like, he was loving it.
Yeah. I actually heard a thing about his, when he was doing the voice work for it. He had never done, like, character voices before. So he actually had a crowd of people in the recording studio with him to hype him up so that he was giving a performance to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with most folks, you know, you just go into the booth and it's just yourself with the script and that's it. But no, he had, like, his whole, like, entourage and, like, a whole, like, crowd, like, watching him perform. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was excellent. Just go see it. I mean, it's a good movie. You'll enjoy it. Jermaine Clement?
Jermaine Clement.
He was funny. He was a crab.
Okay, cool. He's from Flight of the Conchords, yeah. And he's done a bunch of other stuff.
And the song that the crab sings was pretty good.
Cool.
Very David Bowie-esque.
Yeah, it was super Bowie.
Nice.
Which they do that song, that Bowie parody song that's really good. Flight of the Conchords does.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, no, I know. I'm aware.
Yeah, I thought I'd have more to say about Moana, but that's what I kind of meant. Like, it's just really good.
Disney's continuing that trend of strong princesses.
Yeah.
That's good. They need to.
Refuse to be called a princess, actually.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but then Maui's like, you have an animal sidekick and you're wearing a dress. You're a princess.
Cool. I've been meaning to go see it. I just haven't had a chance to yet.
And The Rock's song that he sang is really, really good, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is that the You're Welcome or whatever?
And it's got a Lin-Manuel rap in it.
Of course it does.
Disney was smart to grab a hold of him.
Well, they're capitalizing on that Hamilton popularity.
That Hamilton heat.
Yes.
Let's see. We watched that documentary Tickled last night.
Tickled.
You don't know
Never
Tickled?
Heard of it?
Oh, no. The weird tickle fetish one. Yeah.
New Zealand news reporter dude. I guess he does a lot of, like, human interest stories.
Like, kind of off the radar stuff. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. What's his name? David Ferrier? Ferrier?
Mm-hmm.
He discovers this tickle fetish. Well, it doesn't...
It's listed as a endurance tickling competition.
Video. Yeah, and he wants to figure out, like, what is this? Is this a thing? Is this a sport? Like, and he starts digging into it, and the tickle video producer people start harassing him.
Oh, man.
Like, homophobic slurs and, like, all kinds of ridiculous, weird stuff. But he keeps digging into it with his friend, kind of techie friend guy.
Don't spoil it, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it, but it gets weird.
Wow. I can't say that I've been wanting to see it, but I did know it existed because I watched a Let's Play with Holly Conrad and Ross from Game Grumps, and one of their Pokemon Let's Plays, and Ross started watching it. And as it turns out, that communal, like, artist house that a lot of it was shot in, they lived there at one point. They said that you, like, two doors down from, like, where this was happening was, like, their loft at
Whoa.
One point. Like, not while they were filming this, but, like, they had lived in that house at one point. the same house that all this tickle stuff was going on. And that was kind of what made me kind of go, maybe I should check this out, but nah, I think I'm good.
It's really good. And it
doesn't like lay heavy on the tickling.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just more about the investigation.
Okay.
And how far this goes, because
it goes, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some tickle footage that made me a little uncomfortable.
But just power through that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We've been watching a lot of Awesome Games Done Quick, the charity stream where speedrunners play through video games.
Like super, super fast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super entertaining for whatever reason. And it'll still be going on, I think, by the time this goes up. You can go watch it and go donate.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All their proceeds go toward prevent cancer research. So, yeah, it's just really cool to see these people that know these games so well that they could just blast through them.
Oh yeah, it's cool. It's cool to watch them play through the games. I think a lot of the players themselves, a lot of neckbeards, a lot of fedoras, a lot of. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah, there's definitely a certain type that spends all of their time being the fastest at playing Mario Brothers 3.
And they don't have the best
social skills.
Well, I was going to say performance.
Yeah, that's probably a little
less
more
mean.
Accurate. Yeah. Well, again, am I wrong?
I don't know. I like leaving it on. I've like left it on all day yesterday.
Oh yeah, it's good background for sure. Yeah, I've watched a couple of the runs from last year. And it's, you know, it's fun.
It's why I don't stream games I play, because all I do is swear and get mad.
Yeah.
Hey, so people like to watch that, apparently.
Yeah, you know, there's a big market for that.
Yeah. You could be the next PewDiePie.
Yeah.
I'd rather not.
Yeah. I'd start a channel called Crappy Games Done Slow.
Yeah. What did I say? Okay, games done at a moderate pace.
Yeah.
We were talking before the show. You guys watched the Justice League Action?
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but tell me all about it.
Oh, it's so good.
Cool.
It's the new animated Justice League show on Cartoon Network. Tonally hits somewhere between Brave and the Bold and Justice League, the original Justice League
Bruce
cartoon.
Stuff.
Yeah, Bruce Timm.
Okay, cool.
I love how it looks. I love the character designs. They're all really good, and like in this different style, not quite Bruce Timm.
Mm-hmm. But not quite super cartoony.
Yeah.
Well, they look like those action figures.
Kinda-ish, I guess.
Like, kind of angular, right?
Yeah, a little.
They're just so clean and, like, simple lines on their faces and stuff.
Yeah.
I like how it's not overly, like, kiddified, I guess, would be.
Yeah, it isn't. Much like the other old DC animated shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much in line with those, except maybe a little more lighthearted.
Well, we can use a little more lighthearted, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
They're not afraid to throw in a little joke here and there.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Conroy reprises his role as Batman. And
he's going to be Batman forever.
Oh, yeah.
Except for in the movie Batman Forever.
That might have made better.
Mark Hamill's the Joker and Swamp Thing.
That's cool.
She's really cool, Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, Mark Hamill does a lot of voice work for Cartoon Network. So. Yeah.
That's really cool just to see Swamp Thing, like, at all.
Yeah, it's interesting to see them pull some of these more obscure characters and kind of give them a little extra play.
Constantine in the very first episode.
Yeah. Then the first episode was like a 40-minute long...
Yeah, it was like a special.
Special.
Oh, excellent.
I think it was actually 4 episodes that they tacked together. Because if you think about it, each bit does kind of stand on its own. Because they were chasing down the brothers Jin.
Oh, yeah, because it all starts off with Batman running into Shazam the Wizard.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Apparently Black Adam kicked him out of the Rock of Eternity.
Yeah, okay.
And that's basically where it is. And, like, the entire time, like, it's curmudgeon Shazam going all...
refusing to ask Batman for help when he obviously needs it. Like,
yeah.
And Batman's kind of like, are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm Batman.
Well, cool. I've been meaning to check it out. It looks really, really good. And some of the voice cast seems interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's excellent.
Yeah. What were you telling me last night? Lobo is...
Lobo is John DiMaggio doing a Macho Man Randy Savage impression, more or less.
And that's perfect. That's perfect for the character.
That's my main man right there.
Yeah. I love Lobo. Lobo's cool.
He is cool. I love that he was made as a one note joke character to make fun of how extreme 90s Marvel at the time was being.
I can see it.
Like, he was a parody of the Rob Liefeld style of character development, like when he was created.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and then he became like
better than that.
Well, not better, but more widely accepted because everyone was into that super 90s extreme version.
With his skull belt buckle and chains and his space chopper.
Yeah. He's just a space white trash guy.
he is. Did they get into his love of space dolphins?
No.
That's a thing from the comics. The only thing that calms his extreme attitude is space dolphins. Like, when he's not hunting bounties, he's like chasing space dolphins.
Huh.
And they're not like weird alien dolphins. They're just dolphins in space.
Yeah. So long and thanks for all the fish.
Yeah. And this isn't like an old thing. This was like as of a couple years ago, they were still putting in space dolphin into Lobo comics.
Jeez.
Yeah. Also, there was that issue where he hunted Santa Claus because the Easter Bunny paid him to. Was it the Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special? That's what it was called.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's nuts.
The Lobo, the episode that has Lobo is the one with Space Cabby too.
Oh, nice. It's Patton Oswalt, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah. Space Cabby is an old character, like from the 60s old. Like, they haven't done anything. Well, I take that back. They did something with him in Starman, but that was kind of an old throwback comic anyway, because it was, they gave the writer, James Robinson, like, okay, here's a bunch of characters that we are never going to do anything with. Figure it out.
Yeah.
And there was a couple episodes where Starman was trapped in space and was driven around by Space Cabby. And that's like it, kind of.
I really love Wonder Woman's design.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It makes me happy. I love her hair.
All the designs are good, except for I don't like Superman forgot to put on his red underpants.
Yeah, it's the whole new 52 thing.
Yeah, but it breaks up the color and his design. Like, yeah, it's silly, but it looks better than not. I agree.
Yeah.
I really dislike they did the same thing for Batman, too.
I didn't even notice it on
Batman.
Yeah,
he doesn't have his dark gray undies.
Yeah. I think it works a little bit better with Batman because at least he has the yellow belt to kind of break things up.
Yeah.
Where Superman, he has the red belt sometimes, but it's not like fully connected, and he just looks like he's wearing a big onesie, like a big blue onesie.
Yeah, it looks kind of weird.
Yeah.
The underpants were there for a reason.
They really were.
But yeah, definitely check it out. You can watch it on the Cartoon Network app for free right now.
Okay, cool. I will definitely do that. Probably later on today. That's probably what I'll do.
Yeah, but it's really decent. I really like it.
Cool. Well, I can do my check it outs real quick. I only have a couple of them. The first one was I've actually been watching a bunch of movies lately. I'm not going to go through every single one. Every year I try this thing where I try to watch a movie every day, and usually after about 3 days, I usually peter out. But so far this year, I've been able to stick with it. Like I said, I'm not going to go through all of them, but some of the highlights. So far, I've just been going back through movies that I've seen before, but it's been years. Like, I rewatched Caddyshack for the first time in like 5 years the other day.
It's been a long time since I've watched it, too.
Yeah, but really, really good, really funny.
He's a Cinderella boy.
Yeah. Cinderella story, you know. Oh, we got a hold of that one. We got a hold of that one. But no, it's really funny, but it's just a collection of like vignettes almost. There's like almost no overarching story. I mean, I guess with the main cabbie trying to get into college, but that really takes a back seat. Like, it's mentioned at the beginning, and it's the climax of the movie with the golf tournament, but it really kind of doesn't have anything to do with it, with anything. And same thing with Bill Murray hunting the gopher. It's funny, but there's really, it almost kind of comes out of left field because you have this, like, I don't want to say realistic, but kind of heightened reality, kind of
like it's grounded
stuff,
at least
grounded. And then you have this puppet running through tunnels underneath the greens with C4
like,
and stuff.
Yeah. It's some like Wile E. Coyote stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So totally it kind of is thrown off a little bit, but, overall really good. I forgot that it was, co-written by, it was Bill Murray, Brian Doyle Murray, Harold Ramis, what was it? Kenny, whatever his first name was, the guy, the National Lampoon's guy. Those were the four that wrote it.
Did John Landis direct this? Did John Landis direct this?
Well, let me look it up real quick. I can't remember.
Just thinking of Blues Brothers?
You're definitely thinking of Blues Brothers with that. I think. No, Harold Ramis did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks, Egon.
Yeah. Thanks, Egon. But no, it's really good. For all the kind of crummy things Chevy Chase has done and said, there is a certain charm to late 70s to early 80s Chevy Chase. Like, I'm talking this movie, I'm talking Vacation and Fletch. Like, Fletch is like a standard for me. I love that movie.
I have never seen it. That's one to put on the list.
That's one to put on the
Honestly,
list.
Honestly, I've never seen it either.
Very good. Very, very good movie. But no, it actually got me thinking. There was an actress in Caddyshack. Her name was Sarah Holcomb. She played the Irish waitress kind of girlfriend character that popped up in a couple scenes. And I mention this because she was only in 4 movies. Her entire career is 4 movies, but 2 of those movies were 2 of like the biggest, like,
widely accepted comedies.
Like the 2 of the greatest comedies of all time. Animal House, where she was the mayor's daughter that ended up drunk, passed out in a shopping cart.
Which I have not seen. It's another one I have not seen.
Wow. You can watch it. I'm really surprised.
Yeah, you would love Animal House.
Yes and no.
Yeah. And Caddyshack. And then she disappeared and no one really knows what happened to her. She just kind of fell off the face of the earth. It's kind of crazy. And there's like almost no information about it online, which is another, again, fascinating, because this day and age, there's information on
anything.
Everything. Yeah. So it's kind of one of those weird unsolved mystery kind of deal.
Unsolved mysteries. No, thank you.
Yeah.
In related Caddyshack related news, I read that Bill Murray and his brothers are opening a Caddyshack themed bar in Chicago.
I saw that. Hmm. And that actually is kind of what got me to watch the movie in the first place.
I'd make a trip out there.
I would too. Yeah, once
Plus
it's open,
in Chicago.
For sure.
Yeah, I love Chicago.
Yeah.
Except I mean, for all those murders that happen there.
Yeah, well, we can make a day trip out of that, right? We can stay awake for 24 solid hours, drive out to Chicago, eat at a restaurant and turn around and come back. Maybe stand out in the rain for a few hours.
Yeah, we did that.
We did that once. Yes.
We were dumb.
That was the Nintendo, Nintendo World Championship. we drove out for that.
Yep. I think we've mentioned that on the show before. The other thing I checked out, and I'll talk about it real quick, there was a comic that came out this past week, this past Wednesday. It was a crossover book between DC Comics and Boom Studios. It is Justice League of America versus Power Rangers. If you know me, if you have ever met me, if you've ever seen me, you would think that this comic was like tailored specifically for me.
Yeah.
You would think. And for the most part, it's enjoyable if you look past all of the inaccuracies. Like all of the, if I were able to just go in and enjoy this bit of pop culture without like any prior knowledge or like being like, this is its own thing, don't think about anything else, it would be a fine comic. It's a miniseries. It's like 6 issues, and this is just the first issue.
Is it more inaccurate on the Power Rangers side or the DC side?
Well, seeing as how we've only seen Batman and Flash for the DC side, it is more inaccurate on the Power Rangers side, but that's because we've barely gotten into the DC side. The broad strokes of it is there was an attack on the Power Rangers compound, the power chamber, and it's Lord Zedd that's doing it. And Zach is fighting him like in the power chamber, like fighting Lord Zedd one-on-one, and his communicator, his teleporter gets busted, and they teleport away. He grabs a hold of him and a bunch of putties and teleports him away, which is problem number one, because the teleporters don't teleport more than like one person at a time. Problem number one. But because the teleporter is busted, they go to a alternate reality where they land in Gotham City. Whoa. So, and we don't know where Zedd went. He's somewhere in the DC universe. We don't know what happened to him. But all of a sudden, here's the Black Ranger, who is beaten up, and they say multiple times, probably has a concussion because he's not making very good decisions. And a bunch of putties drop into Gotham City, and of course, Batman shows up. And Zach, the Black Ranger, goes, "Hey, you're one of Rita's monsters!" And starts trying to beat up on Batman, which Batman takes him down pretty steadily. Then all of a sudden,
Batman.
Then all of a sudden, the other Power Rangers show up because they figured out how to tune their teleporter frequency.
That was quick.
Yeah, like
Billy must have did it
within like 2 pages. They're all there, which doesn't make sense.
Why couldn't they have had the accident happen to all of them?
You would think that would make sense, but it doesn't. The other,
like an electrical charge from something hits all of their teleporter.
They all get struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And it is Batman calling the Justice League going, "Okay, Justice League, we need everybody on hand because we have a group of enhanced beings, you know,
with attitude.
Right. And they do mention that Batman does mention, because they ask him what's enhanced in one way, and they kind of go, you know, enhanced strength, enhanced durability, enhanced speed. Kind of makes you think, okay, Power Rangers are about the level of Captain America. They're not like Hulk level strong, but they can, they're stronger than
they take a
people.
Hit.
They can take a hit and everything. They're not the Flash, but they're faster than most normal people. Batman still takes them all out. Batman and the Flash, basically.
Okay, I could take Batman by himself. I feel like couldn't take all of the all five of the Power Rangers.
Yeah, you would think.
But with the Flash, Batman and the Flash could.
Yeah, yeah, basically. But the issue ends with the pink pterodactyl zord flying through a temporal rift, picking up the Batmobile in its beak and flying away. That's the last page, which again is a problem, and I'll tell you why. Josh, you'll know, you'll probably know this because you know Power Rangers. When they introduced Lord Zedd, was in a 3-part miniseries called The Mutiny, season 2 of Power Rangers, right?
Yeah.
What was the cliffhanger of the first part of The Mutiny? With the same episode that they introduced Lord Zedd.
Oh, isn't that when the Megazord gets destroyed?
That's when all the Dinozords get destroyed. So how do they have access to the Dinozords and also fighting Zedd?
It doesn't match out. It's a time rift.
It doesn't match up. And for most people reading it, they're going to look at it and go, oh, you know, whatever, Power Rangers. But it's the problem is everybody remembers Mighty Morphin. Everybody knows those original suits are the iconic ones. Everyone knows Zach and Trini and Billy and Jason.
Plus, that is also the current line that Boom Studios is doing.
But this issue doesn't have any ties to that Boom Studios book or the pink miniseries.
Which takes place after.
Yeah, it has no ties to that whatsoever.
You think they would do that? That would make sense to tie with the books they're selling.
But
right?
At the same time, it's they would have to then explain how the Power Rangers went to an alternate dimension.
The only thing, the way that they could fix this, and it's a very easy fix, instead of Zedd being down, well, the other problem is Zedd is down on Earth, like the power chamber. Yeah. Zedd would never come to Earth. He's a general. He would never like be like in the thick of it.
Yeah.
All they would have had to do is set it in the Rita season 1 timeline and have Goldar be the one
fighting with Zach, yeah.
Fighting
power
with
chamber.
Zach, and be the one that gets trapped on the DC universe. If they wanted to bring it back out and have the Justice League at issue 3 go to the Power Ranger Angel Grove universe and then bring in Zedd and have, because I know what they're going to do. They're going to put Zedd and Darkseid in the same room together. Plus, they had the Green Ranger, not the White Ranger, with Lord Zedd. Does that make sense?
Nope.
See?
I would argue that Rita is more the more iconic villain.
She is the more iconic villain, but Lord Zedd is the one that would most visually striking against Darkseid, because Darkseid is a big, imposing blue and gray guy.
Yeah.
And Zedd is a...
Flayed man.
Is a giant red and silk, red and chrome guy. And they both have similar...
And not a goofy-looking witch.
Yeah, basically. So I can understand why they did that. I wish they would have taken 5 seconds to watch a couple episodes of Power Rangers and actually get, like... And the other thing is, none of the characters read like themselves. Aww. They all just kind of read, like, generic, like, hey, I'm a teen, and I'm a teen, too. We're going to fight some...
Makes me curious who the writers stuff. Were.
You know, I have the issue. It's not in here, but I'll... it's not Kyle Higgins, and it's not the guy who's writing pink. It's some jobber. I don't know. The art's nice. It looks good, but I just... And I'm going to keep picking it up because it's Power Rangers, Justice League, and, you know.
Because, reasons.
I'm an easy mark for that stuff, but...
Well, it's like you said, it's like they wanted to make a comic specifically for you.
Yeah, and they just kind of... And they got close?
Yeah.
And that's what makes it more frustrating, is that they got just that close.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, so...
I guess I could do my check it out real quick.
Yep.
I haven't really been doing a whole lot. I started playing Chroma Squad, you know, back on the Power Rangers thing.
Yeah, fun. It's a good game.
Good game.
Mm-hmm. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm also incredibly frustrated because there are sometimes I forget about the director's notes.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't.
Oh, yeah, you
and I don't
do,
the thing that I need to do.
And then you don't get enough cash to buy any upgrades and it makes the game tougher. Yeah.
I am at the end of season 1 trying to fight the signal head guy or whatever. Cone traffic signal guy.
Yeah.
Traffic safety is very important.
It is very important. Car Ranger.
He's kind of fight. Or he's
kind of fight.
He's kind of hard. It's kind of a hard fight.
Yeah.
Like the way he like teleports around, I'm like trying to get him like lined up to do like a team finisher move and keeps moving on me.
He is kind of tough.
The team up mechanics in that game are so good. Like the way you can jump off of each other, or do moves off each other.
Oh yeah, sometimes I just jump around for giggles.
Oh sure, well that's part of the show. I mean,
yeah, you do get bonus audience for doing acrobatics.
Mm-hmm. It's a really cool mechanic from a strategy game perspective, and it also fits the theme extremely well.
Oh yeah, I mean, what's Power Rangers without unnecessary flips?
Yeah.
I feel like Dr. Soap is a allegory.
Dr. Soap.
The director from the old studio who's trying to...
It's Saban. It's Chaim Saban. Yeah, for sure.
Even though on the title screen of the game it says, inspired by Saban's...
They had to do that.
I hate that so much. Saban sued them.
It was inspired by the Japanese Sentai, which is actually really big down in Brazil. Like, mm-hmm. It gets imported pretty regularly down there. But because it is kind of Power Rangers, Saban sued the hell out of them. And
of course, they're just a little, yeah. They're an indie studio, and they can't afford a high-powered lawyer to fight it.
And Saban knew that, so Saban could do whatever they wanted.
He put them in a squeeze.
Yeah, basically.
Which, if they could have fought it, I'm absolutely positive they would have won that.
Yeah,
one.
But they would have lost out in the long run anyway, because
it would have cost them a bajillion dollars to fight that lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the game's really fun. I really enjoy it. Like, the weird little mechanics and the kind of, like, the jokes, like, in the game are kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's well written.
It's a funny, fun game. You know, they're the same guys that did the Knights of Pen and Paper RPG for iOS.
Managing the advertising campaigns for some reason. That was entertaining to do.
Yeah.
I think it's Behold Studios, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Good guys.
Yeah.
They make good games.
Yeah. I've actually talked with them a little bit back and forth because we were in the beta for this.
For Chroma Squad.
Yeah.
There was an episode where one of the characters had to go to a dentist appointment.
Oh yeah.
So they like wrote it on the fly that they were captured.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of truth. There's a lot more truth to that kind of stuff. I mean, later seasons of Power Rangers where you have like three on-screen like actor Power Rangers, and then all of a sudden the team shows up and they're just using voice clips for the other two that just happen to not be there that day. Yeah.
Or like when they're setting up the scenes, like in a warehouse for reasons.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But no, it's fun. I can't wait to get further into it. I'm playing on a more difficult setting. Like, I'm not just playing to play the story. I'm actually trying to play the game.
Oh, I think I played it on just the easier mode.
Yeah, I just wanted to get through it.
Of course, yeah, I wrote a review of that, didn't I?
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to be able to review it, so I didn't play it on a very hard difficulty.
Yeah.
My other check it out is, I just for giggles, I watched the Ratchet & Clank movie.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, was it good? I'm curious.
It's on Netflix. I mean, it's all right. There's, you know, references to, like, you know, the series and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just goofy.
I heard it is more of a supplement to the game that came out around the same time as an actual standalone movie.
Yeah.
Like, you get more out of it if you've played the standalone game along with the movie.
I have not played the game in a long time.
The new game.
Oh.
The newest game.
I've not played that at all. Well, it's just that the new game is a remake of the original game, too.
Yeah. I liked it. It was all right. John Goodman does a voice of a character who's
cool.
Like a 2-bit character, and it mostly weighs heavier on the actual voice actors from the game.
That's cool that they got the voice actors from the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably saved them a lot of money, too.
It probably did.
Because it's by Rainmaker Studios, the people who used to do Reboot.
Oh, okay. Right on.
And, yeah, except it's animated better than Reboot.
Yeah.
Are they doing well? It would be difficult to not be animated better than Reboot. Speaking of which, are they doing another Reboot? Are they doing a Reboot?
They're supposed to be.
Yeah, I haven't heard about it in a long time.
A reboot?
Did you know they also did the Dire Straits music video?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was Rainmaker Studios.
Nice.
That was the same guys that did Reboot.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's all I've really done.
Actually, an excellent song to play.
That would be a good song to play, yeah. Nailed it. Nailed it in one. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about some news.
Hey, we're back. That was the Dire Straits' Money for Nothing.
That's right, and I will tell you who is getting money for nothing. Woody Harrelson in the new Star Wars Han Solo
spinoff movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess he's been cast as Han Solo's mentor?
I don't...
He'll be smuggling Twinkies.
Everything, yeah, right, from Zombieland. Yeah, everything about that just doesn't feel right. Like, I don't want Woody Harrelson in my Star Wars.
In all honesty, I don't like the idea of the entire movie.
I don't either.
I mean, I'm sure it'll probably be pretty good. I like Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Yeah.
and it'll probably be a fantastic movie, but I'm perfectly okay with not knowing Han Solo's past.
I agree.
I think it's better left a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But hey, we're living in a time when there is going to be no mysteries about the Star Wars universe. They're going to be cranking out four Star Wars movies a year from now until 2121. Forever. Forever, forever.
A billion years forever.
The end. 100 years. 100 years Star Wars movies.
We're going to get
.com.
Side stories about Chewbacca's cousin's dog.
Yeah. Or his family, you know, Lumpy and Mala.
Are they canon?
Until something directly says that they're not, they are.
You know what would be amazing?
What's that?
Now that Disney holds the keys, they'll release like a Blu-ray anniversary edition of the Star Wars Christmas special.
They will never.
They never would. You know what? That is probably, I'm not a big fan of, like, you know, I have inspirational quotes. I love this quote. I love that quote. But one of my favorites is from George Lucas. And he says, "If I had time and a hammer, I would destroy every copy of the Star Wars holiday special." That is not a made up thing. That is an actual quote from George Lucas.
Oh, yeah. He spent the better part of like his career trying to hunt down every single one he could find.
Yeah. Anyway.
There's probably a clause in the contract he signed with Disney that says they're not allowed to
probably
sell that.
What if they remade it and made it good?
Ooh. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'd watch a good Star Wars. I'd watch a bad one too. But...
Well, you mean like the droids and the Ewoks cartoons?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Actually, that Star Wars Christmas special is so bad I can't sit through it.
Really? Have you tried?
I couldn't. I could barely sit through the JonTron making fun of it thing.
Yeah, it's tough.
I think I've tried before. I'm not 100%.
It's tough. There are some highlights, but it is tough. Anyway, we're not talking about the Star Wars holiday special. I don't like the idea of Woody Harrelson in the movie because, I don't like the character, like the actor being in Star Wars. It just doesn't seem to fit right. Two, Han Solo is not good at being a smuggler.
Yeah.
I always kind of thought the point was he's not good, so why would he need a mentor to teach him how to be the worst smuggler in the galaxy? Like, that doesn't seem right.
He's not good. He's just incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
Maybe the Force?
Maybe. You never know.
The Force doesn't work that way.
Yes, it does. The Force works however you want it to.
It works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
I was fitting in a joke with a quote. You guys are pooping on my parade.
Sorry.
It's okay.
The Force isn't a joke. It's real.
Yeah. Those midichlorians, they're in your blood.
One with the Force. The Force is with me.
Oh, man. I think my favorite thing of that is seeing C-3PO and RTD2 running through that hallway from the original movie with saying that.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, funny. Woody Harrelson, I don't know. I feel like the thing with Star Wars that makes it really great is there aren't really a lot of like big name people. Well, I mean, there was Peter Cushing
and Alec Guinness, but they were kind of at the end of their careers when they were in that. And they were more... They're more well-known in British markets than they were in U.S. markets.
Yes.
And they weren't like these big-time character actors who always play, you know, Woody Harrelson's always this certain kind of character in his movies. And, like, Star Wars doesn't do that.
They're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
We got into a little bit of that with the prequels where they got Ewan McGregor, who was a bigger name actor. And
Ish.
And same thing with Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Although that was pre-Taken Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And Samuel Jackson doing everything he could and probably not to swear.
Yeah. But I don't know. This doesn't seem right.
Samuel L. Jackson doesn't play that Samuel L. Jackson character in that movie.
No, he actually plays a very reserved, like the anti-Sam Jackson.
Yeah. He's really good as Mace Windu. Mace Windu.
Yeah.
Mace Windu. I'm
go,
looking
go
at a window.
Go to prison.
Mace Windu.
Yeah. I just...
He did go out a window. No.
What is it with Jedi's chopping people's arms off?
I mean, if you had a laser sword, wouldn't you be doing it too?
I wouldn't stop with the arms.
Well, neither did Obi-Wan.
Yeah, true.
Anakin didn't have a leg to stand on.
That's good. Yeah. Right. Well, we can go ahead and move on from this, but it just doesn't feel right.
It does. It really doesn't.
This is the first step from Disney taking over Star Wars that just doesn't quite connect.
Yeah.
I'm just going to see him as that guy in Hunger Games.
Yeah. I'm just going to see him as that dumb bartender in Cheers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I forgot.
Yeah.
He was so young in
we
that.
We could do a spinoff called Cantina.
Actually, that would be kind of great.
Where everybody knows your name.
Oh, man. Oh, what if
he doesn't like you.
What if they did a short with all the cast from Cheers as in the Cantina?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. And, like, one guy just walks in and everyone says his name.
It'd just be Norm. Just make it Norm.
Hey. Except it's got a G, a silent G. In
yeah.
And he looks like the walrus man.
Yeah. Fraser Crane would 100% be an Imperial trooper, right?
Oh, yeah.
Imperial officer.
Yeah.
Officer.
Yeah.
Yes, officer.
Oh, man. Is it bad that I think I like Fraser more than I like Cheers?
No.
Have you seen Cheers?
Yeah. I enjoy them both. I really do.
I've never really watched Cheers, but I know Frasier's good.
Cheers is good. Frasier is pretty good. I like
the earlier seasons of Cheers.
Mm-hmm. With Coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
And versus like the later seasons.
With Woody.
After the bar got bought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once Kirstie Alley came into the show, it kind of spun out of control a little bit. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Cheers talk.
This is the Cheers podcast.
Yeah. The podcast where we all know your name. Anyway, let's move on to... okay, here's a quick thing. We're talking about movies. You know how Hugh Jackman has said that he's not going to do any Wolverine movies after the whole Logan thing? That's going to be it for him? Well, that might not be the case.
Well, Ryan Reynolds really wants him to do it.
Yeah, the deal is Ryan Reynolds... Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds are really good buddies, and they really kind of they troll each other basically online. There was there's actually a press junket for Eddie the Eagle. That was that stuntman movie that Hugh Jackman starred in.
Yeah,
and Ryan Reynolds came in and interviewed him as the interviewer for like Entertainment Weekly, and just asked him a bunch of these crazy, off the wall, weird, just weird questions. It was almost like.
Between Two Ferns.
Yeah, almost to that level. And anyway, they're really good buddies. And Ryan Reynolds has really been pushing for a Wolverine Deadpool buddy cop movie. And Hugh Jackman keeps saying, well, no, I'm done. He keeps going, but it would be cool. I don't want to do Wolverine anymore, but it'd be pretty great.
But at the same time.
I don't
want to
do this, but it would make a lot of sense and be fun.
I mean, it'd be a different movie. It wouldn't be the same Wolverine.
At the same time, though, before Hugh Jackman just said after Wolverine 3 he's done, he said he wanted to play Wolverine for as long as his body would let him.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to being Wolverine, when he loves the character, too, he is really wishy-washy on how long he wants to play him.
Yeah.
I think it depends on how good Logan is. If Logan is like a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, he should hang it up there and leave on a good note.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not good, then definitely do this movie.
Yeah, because you know that it would be at least
hilarious.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
And it would definitely be Wolverine as the straight man and Deadpool as the...
Deadpool.
Which is something we would kind of hope to get out of, like, Deadpool 2 if they actually bring in Cable.
Has Ryan Reynolds just become Deadpool? Like, minus the murder part?
I think so.
Yeah. Because... The more you see Ryan Reynolds like in public and at like events and things, he's just
he did kiss Andrew Garfield.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
that was pretty funny. Yeah.
Oh, Andrew Garfield, all our Deadpool Spidey shipping.
Yeah. but no, it's I would be up for it. It seems fun.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
It makes sense, and plus you're like. That's one of the things, like, even though the Wolverine Origins was a really awful, awful, terrible movie that should be stricken from the record, the parts with Ryan Reynolds was good.
You mean that 5 minutes at the beginning?
Yeah.
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 The first 5 minutes was okay.
Oh, yeah. That was an enjoyable part of the movie. Everything else was garbage.
Nope.
That was enjoyable. I would take a Wolverine cameo in Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're going to be seeing a lot more mutants and things in that. And because this is set in a different, I don't know, timeline or reality than the mainstream,
which is fine.
X-Men movies,
because the mainstream of the X-Men movies, like because you got like
super serious,
because you got like the old ones,
yeah.
And then you got the first class line, and then they kind of intersect a little bit. And the first class ones, they kind of start out kind of high and they go kind of down.
I don't know if I agree with that because
I did not care for Apocalypse.
Days of Future Past was really good.
Yeah, it was.
I really did enjoy Days of Future
really
Past.
Good movie.
And Apocalypse was good. Until the ending. the ending kind of ruined it, but the beginning and middle, like two-thirds of that movie was very enjoyable, I thought. Anyway, the point I was getting to was because it's set in a kind of different universe.
Is it a different universe, or is Deadpool writing this his movies?
That could be it.
From the main universe.
That could very well be it. Anyway, we could see Wolverine in costume. That is the one thing we've never seen on screen. We've seen them reference it. We've seen the costume in like a briefcase. We've never seen Hugh Jackman wear the actual Wolverine.
The iconic Wolverine costume.
The actual costume. And even if it's just Hugh Jackman walking onto screen and doing nothing, just popping his claws and going, hey, shut up, bub.
Yeah.
In the costume, and the Deadpool universe would be
the place to do it.
The place to do it, because they've set a precedent for costumes, both with Deadpool and with Colossus, because Colossus was wearing an X-Men.
So was
variant.
Megasonic Team.
And she was wearing a New Mutants uniform under all the black and the trench coat and stuff. So there is a precedent in that universe for actual superhero costumes and not like the black leather or street clothes like the other X-Men movies.
Deadpool wears one.
Yeah, exactly. So that
even makes a gag about it.
Yeah. So that would be it for me. I think that would. If it were me, that's how I'd like to see it go.
I'd love to see it happen, but we probably won't get that one.
Probably not. But we can dream, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to keep on talking about movies?
Sure.
Or superheroes.
Keep
superhero movies altogether. Even better. Yeah. So Doctor Strange is going to be more than just a cameo in Thor Ragnarok.
I figured the way they were talking about it in the after spoilers in the after credits of Doctor Strange, which I think we can spoil that. It's not even in theaters anymore. And
it's going to be on DVD here in about a month. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, in the after credits, Doctor Strange talks to Thor a little bit about Loki causing problems.
Yeah.
And he says he's going to help.
Looking for Odin.
Yeah, which I thought that meant, you know, I'm going to be in the movie quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's what I figured, and that's. Seems like what is happening.
Yep, and that's cool. I'm down.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I love Doctor Strange. It was a great movie.
It was a good movie.
The more I think about it, the more I liked it. So it's going to be really interesting because we're going to have Hulk, Thor, and Doctor Strange.
And that's just the ones we know of.
This is true.
There could be more. Actually, isn't Enchantress and the Executioner, aren't they in this? Because I thought Carl Urban was the Executioner in this.
I don't know.
Executioner is like her giant bodyguard with a space axe.
Sounds a lot like Judge Dredd. The Executioner.
Yeah. Well, hey, Carl Urban.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
God, Dredd was so good.
I know.
It was a good movie.
I wasn't even expecting it to be good. I was surprised at how good it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the Sylvester Stallone one's costume is more comic accurate, but Dredd is such a good movie. Yeah.
Created by Prada.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Prada designed all of the costumes in this Stallone Judge Dredd movie. Very weird.
Wow.
Very weird.
Yeah, that's
there.
A weird.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the website I always had an idea to create? This was around the time that the Chuck Norris facts were a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought about designing a website called Carl Urban Legends and basically just taking the Chuck Norris things and making them about Carl Urban. Mostly because it's the...
Urban Legends?
Yeah, Urban Legends.
You do three and then one of them's true and at the end of the show, yeah, guess which
That's
one
it, yeah.
True.
But no... It'll be interesting. And also, you know, the fact that having the Marvel Enchantress versus the DC Enchantress.
That's true. Yeah, we'll see if this Enchantress is a dirt witch, like in Suicide Squad.
I like the dirt witch, but that's about where I stop with it.
I'm a fan of the classic DC Enchantress where she just looks like a
witch.
Like a witch. Like an actual witch.
With the hat and the
broom and the, yeah, but whatever.
I don't know. It'll be a good movie. Ragnarok will be a good movie.
I hope so.
They haven't really made a bad one yet.
Yeah,
bad,
Iron Man
bad.
3.
Iron Man 3 was probably the worst of
it,
the
is
bunch.
The worst one. Is the worst one of the bunch.
I wouldn't say it was a bad movie.
It wasn't
it's
a bad
not
movie.
A bad movie, but it's definitely not their strongest.
Actually, you know what? I think I like Iron Man 3 a little better than Iron Man 2. I think Iron Man 2 is my bottom of the list. That's the one with Mickey Rourke
as Whiplash.
Whiplash. Whiplash / Crimson Dynamo. That one was not good.
Was he Crimson Dynamo? No, he wasn't Crimson Dynamo.
Yeah, they matched the two characters up. He was Ivan Denko. Who started the movie as Whiplash and ended the movie as Crimson Dynamo because he built his own armor.
Oh, I totally forgot he put on armor in that movie. It's
yep.
been a while
remember.
Since I watched Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
I barely remember anything about it.
Yeah.
I remember the race car scene.
That's the scene that everybody remembers because that was in the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's about all I remember.
I know.
Oh, and I remember when the one dude tried to test his own Iron Man armor and broke some dude's spine.
Also in the trailer.
Yeah.
I remember Black Widow changing in the back of a car.
Oh, sure, okay. With Happy driving the car.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, that's right. That was the movie that introduced Black Widow, wasn't
yes.
it?
It is.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Jeez. That's right.
And we got that really funny part where Happy's like beating up that one dude. And he's like, yeah, I got him. He turns around and Black Widow's already taken out the whole lobby.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, man. That
she was rad in that movie.
She was great. That was a highlight of that movie, of which there were few.
Yeah. That was. And then I'm like, they should do a Black Widow movie. And then they never did.
They never did. Although if Captain Marvel does well and Wonder Woman does well, I think we'll see a Black Widow movie.
Man, there's a lot riding on that, then.
I know.
It's. I really want Wonder Woman to be good.
I worry about Wonder Woman every
all
day of my life.
All signs point to no, though.
Yeah, I'm worried about Wonder Woman. I have all my hopes riding on Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the surer bet.
Do you think with like all this, like them pushing really hard with the Inhuman stuff in multiple medias and you know, with Captain Marvel and whatnot, do you think maybe they'll actually get a at least a mention of Kamala Khan?
That would be a stretch, if anything. Yeah. If anything, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the show, is still set in the Marvel movie continuity, mm-hmm. and they deal more closely with Inhumans, if that show is still on, and this is the only way we'll see Kamala Khan, who is Ms. Marvel,
the current Ms. Marvel,
in the comics. I believe the only way we're going to see a mention of that character is if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still a show around the time the Captain Marvel movie comes out, they'll introduce Kamala Khan as a character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And that depends on if the movie people want to let them introduce her.
Exactly.
To begin with.
Yeah. So that's the only way I can see them doing that. Although they did give what's her name from the middle, like she met with Marvel and gave her like a huge stack of Ms. Marvel comics as like reference. So I mean, it would be weird because that's whitewashing the character.
Yeah.
Pretty significantly, but
yeah. I mean, they brought the Ghost Rider into the MCU.
They brought multiple Ghost Riders.
You know who would make a good Ms. Marvel?
Who?
Ashley Birch.
She would actually. She would actually make a really good Ms. Marvel. Yeah.
What do you mean multiple Ghost Riders? The only one because in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. they had the one with the car.
There are two in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Are there?
They introduced very briefly. They had a previous one on a motorcycle.
Oh, okay. So Johnny Blaze is there.
Yeah.
Sort of.
They didn't really call him by
in
name,
spirit.
But he was funny. All right.
Jokes.
Let's do some game news real quick. We have Mass Effect on the list, and I don't remember what
we watched.
Why.
The
Andromeda trailer.
Yeah, there's a trailer for the new one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
A lot of going around on exploring planets, shooting dudes.
Yeah.
Looked like it kind of had a what's that game? No Man's Sky.
Kinda. Yeah. So No Man's Sky, but good.
But with a game inside. Yeah. The more I think about it, the more worried I get,
because really?
I think it might be, I hated the last Dragon Age, Inquisition,
because
it was just a big old world full of a bunch of busy work tasks to do. Like, I hate it when games that aren't MMOs are like, go get 5 bear pelts. And that was like a quest in Inquisition, was like, go get 5 bear pelts. I'm like, no. That's a waste of time.
No,
like,
you go get 5 bear pelts. You're standing there.
You're not respecting my time. Like,
it feels like a unneeded use of the Inquisition.
Yeah. Like, there's quests like that in The Witcher that just go get something, but they always dip it in enough lore to where it's interesting to do that.
Right.
And this game did not do that.
Well, plus, you know, Geralt's job in The Witcher is to hunt monsters.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes more sense.
But these people are cold. Go get bear pelts. So is it just going to be going around these planets doing a bunch of lame odd jobs?
Probably.
Go find 3 ores and go shoot a rock. Like, I hope it's not like that. Yeah.
But guys, all of the NPCs are romanceable. Does that do anything for you?
But they have this only slight personality. There's 4 different personality types. And they spit the same lame dialogue, but all of them are romanceable.
Like Animal Crossing. They have
Fable.
There's only 4 types of people, and they say the same thing over and over again.
Hey, you could marry anyone in Fable.
True.
<Yeah.
laughs> But yeah, now I'm kind of worried about it now, because I didn't, like, I'm the only one in the world that didn't like that Dragon Age, but I really didn't like it.
I haven't played it, so. Yeah.
Would you be any less worried about it if you were able to play it on a laptop with 3 screens?
I would. If it meant I got a 3-screen laptop, then I would play it.
Yeah. So that's actually our next news thing. CES, which is like Comic-Con for computer electronics.
Yeah.
It was last week. And they're like, the big thing everyone was talking about was this three-screen laptop.
It was a Razer laptop. I think it was called like Project Valerie.
Yeah.
It actually
huge.
Slides out two separate displays on each side. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. And last week when we almost did a show, that was like going to be the end of the news topic. But there's actually been a little bit more.
There's been an update
in the last week.
The plot thickens.
Yeah.
Somebody stole it. I think maybe two of them right out of the booth.
Wow.
So it's a hot item, I guess. People really want this laptop.
Yeah, you would think that they would like lock that down.
Yeah.
Like super good.
At least put a spider on it.
Yeah, do something.
Like a live spider.
Yeah, just put some, just dump a bunch of spiders over top of that laptop. No one's going to want that.
Yeah. Oh, that looks sweet. Oh, that a spider? Oh, man.
Talk about excess, though. Like, yeah. You need a laptop with three screens on it? Nobody actually needs that.
Does anyone need three screens at all anyway?
Yes.
I mean, unless you're doing like heavy, heavy like audiovisual editing or like...
Or like have a really sweet mech warrior game.
Well, yeah.
Or something.
Or you play Eve.
Yeah, you gotta have your two spreadsheets open on the other side.
But yeah, that's just excessive. I don't know. Why? I don't know.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I could bring in an expert in multi-screen displays.
Yeah.
I would never, like...
No.
On a desktop, maybe.
On a desktop, I would go two screens, maybe.
Yeah.
But three screens just seems too...
I have two displays on my desktop.
Oh, nice.
I don't use the one half the time.
Yeah. See, that's... Yeah. All right. We have a couple other things, but instead, I think let's take a minute and we have the Nintendo Switch thing coming out later on this evening. We're recording this Thursday morning afternoon.
Yeah,
so
unfortunately, there's no way we could work it so we could watch that and then record.
Yeah.
Because it's not at 11 p.m. at night.
We thought it was going to be 11 in the morning. We were going to be able to talk about the Switch like for the entire show. It was going to be great. Turns out, no, Nintendo decided to be night owls tonight and stay up all night, make us wait. So what are we expecting? Now, by the time you all hear this, a lot of this is going to be debunked.
Yeah.
Or confirmed.
Yeah.
But this is, so picture, think of this as like a time capsule. Like this is a, like, yeah.
And also, if we're right, then next week we get to go, I called it.
Exactly.
Nailed it.
Yeah. So what do we think is going to be announced at this Switch press conference thing?
I'm going to say that it's going to cost $249.99.
Yep. I think that's going to be the base, and I believe there's also going to be a bundle pack that's $300.
You think it has Zelda in it?
Either Zelda or Splatoon is my guess.
Yeah.
I don't care. I just want one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What games do you think they're going to have at launch with this?
I think they'll have a Mario.
Yeah.
I think they'll have Splatoon.
Yeah.
I think I'm 100% on Zelda at this point.
Really?
I don't think they would have showed it off on Jimmy Fallon if it wasn't going to be a launch title.
I don't think it's going to be a launch title. I think it's going to be first, like, whatever quarter it would be, like, immediately following the launch, but I don't think it's going to be a launch title.
So you think it'd be like a Q1?
Yeah.
I think
it's a launch title.
Really?
I'd bet money.
Yeah, I think...
Rupees?
I'd bet rupees.
I got 5 rupees on it.
Yeah, I got a shiny blue one that...
$5. Wow. All right. Big spender. Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of Wii U ports.
Yeah.
Like, immediately ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Because that's easy.
I don't blame them because nobody played them. So.
Yeah.
It's new to me.
Yeah. If we don't get Breath of the Wild, I think we'll have Hyrule Warriors.
Ugh.
Another one?
A port of the Wii U.
With new stuff.
Yeah.
I could see that, but I'm sick of that game. I've played it twice. I never finished it, but I've played it on two different systems now.
Yeah, well, now you can play it on a third one. Yeah.
Well, there's rumors going around that they're doing a Nintendo Dynasty Warriors crossover game.
I heard that, and that would be like Super Smash Warriors or whatever.
Yeah.
That would be super cool.
That would be
cool. Be a lot of fun to smash through a bunch of Shy Guys.
Yeah.
Just a Mario one would be cool.
Yeah.
Without, you know.
Oh, man. Bringing like.
Toad armies versus Koopa armies.
Oh, man. Like bringing like the Mushroom Kingdom like war like as like a thing.
Mushroom Kingdom Warriors.
Yeah. That would be cool, but I don't see them using just solely the Mario franchise getting that like violent. Even if it's cartoony violent,
I don't see them making them fight that way.
But a Smash Brothers one where your different Smash characters are generals and you have generic like mooks
and there's
your
way
army.
Too many Fire Emblem characters.
Yeah. Yes.
Actually, a Fire Emblem.
It would lend itself very well to.
Almost too
warrior.
Well to where it's boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Could you imagine like being Donkey Kong and smashing through like literally an army of Kremlings?
Yeah.
Oh, a Metroid. Warriors game.
Ooh.
Where you're fighting against the space pirates and you're the Federation.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Will we get a Metroid game?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it would be a great surprise.
I don't think we're getting it at launch. I think this is the generation where we're going to get a Metroid game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there.
But I don't want a first-person shooter. I want, like, platformer. Like, Metroidvania-style 2D. Because
like a Metroid, not a Metroid Prime.
Yes, exactly. It's been a really long time. There's been a lot of indie games that have done a lot of that. So like Guacamelee and
Shantae. Last one wasn't exactly a Metroidvania. Yeah.
And there was a third one that was very Metroidvania-ish.
Axiom Verge.
That's it. Yeah, I think that style of game is coming back into vogue, and I think now's the time. If they're going to bring back the Metroid series in earnest, this is the time to do it.
I would have said that they should do the 2D one on the 3DS, but I'm wondering if they're even going to do the 3DS after this.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been selling them.
Yeah.
They haven't been getting them in stores. Nobody can find them anywhere.
Yeah, that's my next question with the Switch and Nintendo in general. How difficult is it going to be to get a hold of a Switch? Because Nintendo's had this bad habit lately of severely underproducing their merchandise.
Yeah.
Creating false demand.
Mm-hmm. Not false demand. The demand's there. Well, they're not meeting supply.
They used to do that with Amiibos, but now you can get Amiibos anywhere, although it's more because people don't give a care about Amiibos anymore, really. Myself excluded.
You're going to have to stand in line to get one.
Yeah.
Like, hands down, you're going to have to get in line the day
I'm pre-ordering one.
I'm probably going to pre-order one. If I can get into it.
Plus, you know, it'll help me be able to, you know, pay for one because I can just pay on it over time.
Sure, yeah. What kind of release date are we looking at, do you think?
March...
I've heard March 18th a lot.
I'm going to say mid-March, but yeah, let me look at the calendar because it'll be on a Sunday.
I would almost say later in the year.
No, they're not going to wait that long.
They've said March.
Yeah.
Oh, have they? I mean, we'll definitely find out by tonight.
March 17th or 24th.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right.
One of those two is my guess.
Yeah. Gosh, what else was there? Do you think they're going to announce any non-Switch things, like any 3DS updates or Amiibo type things?
Well, I think they'll announce Amiibos.
Yeah.
Because some SKUs for 3 Amiibos showed up in a Target database or something.
Yeah, yeah. And people are thinking, people keep saying, oh, it's going to be more Legends of Zelda stuff for Breath of the Wild. It's got to be that. I don't think that's the case.
They've already revealed those.
Yeah, I think what they're going to be are the last 3 Smash Brothers Amiibos, because it's been over a year and we're still waiting on Bayonetta, Cloud, and Fire Emblem number 5. Whatever, Dragon Boy.
Dragon Boy.
Yeah. I really think that's what they're going to announce, and I think it's going to come with a port of Smash for Wii U with all of the DLC just bundled, ready to go.
You mean the Switch?
For the Switch. Well, the game was called Smash 4, and then it was Wii U and 3DS.
Okay.
But I think we're going to get a port of that for the Switch with everything bundled, not at launch, but within 6 months of launch. Same thing with Mario Kart.
Yeah, they've never had a Mario Kart at launch. That would be weird if they did.
That would be very weird. But I do think within 6 months, and I don't think they're going to make a brand new game. I think we're going to see a lot of ports of the popular Wii U games right off the bat, because that's what's going to force a lot of, well, not force, but convince a lot of people on the fence to go ahead and upgrade, so they're not losing out on all of their games that they have on the Wii U.
Yeah, which I don't blame Nintendo, because they made all these great games and nobody played them on the Wii U.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Do we think we're going to see an Animal Crossing?
I almost want to say yeah, because they've got all those Amiibos and cards that they're pushing.
Pushing those things hard.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's just about it. We'll find out next week how close we were, I guess.
Merry Switchmas.
Yes, Merry Switchmas. All Nintendo Claus is going to bring us some sweet, sweet news tonight, so we'll figure that out. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us @nerd_overload and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
And Twitch channel, Nerd Overload Live.
Yes, where we broadcast live while we're while we're making the show. Yeah. Get some behind the scenes.
Yeah, show you how the sausage is made. We are also on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can check us out there. And again, thanks for tuning in. And
again,
we will
give us a 5-star review, a 5-star or a review or whatever on iTunes. That helps us out.
That would be cool. That would be very cool. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.
Let's go.